Will your church be one of the issues, etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, etc. 300.
The full House and a Senate committee voted this week to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell, even though the Pentagon review won't be completed until the end of the year. Does that send the wrong message to our troops when the House and a major committee in the Senate are in effect saying, we've already decided what we're going to do before we hear from you?
Well, I said in my testimony in February that personally I believe that the law should change. But I also said that this review was critically important. Ideally, I would like the legislation to wait until we've completed the review so we can look at how to implement it.
That's Admiral Mike Mullen, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, speaking with Chris Wallace on Fox News Sunday about the current policy regarding gays in the military called Don't Ask, Don't Tell, Don't Pursue. Many considered it a compromise on both sides of the issue when it was implemented some decades ago. And it has, I don't know how well it's served the military. The concern about gays in the military seems to be one having to do not so much with homosexuality per se, but how the military conducts itself on a day-to-day basis. The way that a small group, a unit of men, soldiers, seamen, find themselves together and what it means to live together and work that job, that difficult and dangerous job together, with perhaps the specter of this form of human sexuality always in the fore of someone's mind. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll begin today's program talking with Dr. Dan Gard about the military's Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. Then we'll spend the rest of the program talking about Islam's intellectual suicide. Bob Riley, author of the new book, The Closing of the Muslim Mind, will be our guest. We are coming to you live this Wednesday afternoon. It's the 2nd of June. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. You can Twitter us at @issuesetc or post a question or a comment at our Facebook fan page on the issue of the intellectual suicide of Islam, facebook.com/issuesetc. Dr. Dan Gard is a regular guest. He's professor of Old Testament and Dean of Military Chaplaincy Programs at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He also serves as a chaplain in the U.S. Naval Reserves. Dr. Gard, welcome back.
Well, thank you.
Would the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, Don't Pursue have any bearing upon the job that you and so many others do in the U.S. military, that is, chaplain to our servicemen?
Well, I would begin by saying first that, just to be sure, it's very clear that whatever I may think, it doesn't represent by any means the views of the Department of the Navy or the Chief of Chaplains or the Navy Chaplain Corps. It's simply my perspective. But I would respond in this way. I am a Lutheran pastor. That means that I am guided by Holy Scripture and the Lutheran Confessions and by the way in which the church body that I represent, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, has dealt with these issues. We have to remember also that there is such a thing as the two kingdoms, which means, as those of you familiar with the term are aware, that there is the kingdom of the left, or the government, and the kingdom of the right, which is the church. The military belongs to the kingdom of the left, that is, to the government. In our system, that means that the elected officials of the country, Congress, the president, are in charge. The military is not in the American system. And so what Congress and the president choose to do, they do as representatives of the American people, at least as the votes have occurred. So with that said, I would say this. My view is always this, that as a pastor, my job is to reach with love and compassion to whoever I come in contact with, hopefully with the love and compassion that we see in our Savior Jesus Christ, who did reach out to everybody. With that said, then, part of that love and compassion for me as a pastor in that aspect of my life, wherever I am, is to deal with those who whose lives are so affected by sin and pain and hurt that they come to repentance. So if I reach out to somebody with the love and compassion of Christ, I am no more going to think I'm exercising that love and compassion by, say, admitting an adulterous heterosexual to the Eucharist, to the Lord's Supper, as I would a unrepentant homosexual. To both, I will reach out with the gospel, both law and gospel, to let them know that there is a Savior, that Savior has, in fact, redeemed them from their sin, and that life eternal is theirs. And with repentance, then, I will deal with every human being in the same way. Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess I'm curious, too, that one of the biggest concerns expressed about don't ask, don't tell, don't pursue, no one thought it was a perfect solution, but the concern about gays in the military in general came down to a term of art that you'll need to explain to us, esprit de corps. Why is this so important? Why is this of vital importance from a military standpoint?
Yeah, I think it is, and I'm going to have to let military leaders respond to how the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell is going to affect esprit de corps. I know some retired chaplains have spoken to that issue already. In my view, that is an important consideration in anything that might be implemented within the military. The spirit of the corps, the way in which people within the military live and work and function together is vital to the accomplishment of the military mission. If, in fact, civilian government does tell the military that it will no longer be don't ask, don't tell, then military leadership will have to find a way to deal with that in terms of its effect on the esprit de corps, the working relationships of military people. And it's going to be a difficult task, but I also have great confidence in our military leadership that they'll be able to do that.
The goal here appears to be legislatively the lifting of any existing ban on the service of homosexuals in the military. Don't Ask, Don't Tell appeared to be kind of a halfway house saying, look, we're not going to lift the ban, but we're also not going to impose or enforce the ban in any real way. What's left if Don't Ask, Don't Tell is abolished as a policy?
You know, I'm not absolutely sure what all that's going to imply. I'm kind of anxious to find out, and I don't think anybody knows at this point what that decision would do in terms of the day-to-day functioning of the military. There's lots of guesses, and I could speculate as well. It's one of those things I need to wait and see exactly how this is going to be implemented. I know that the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff has publicly spoken about that and said that if, in fact, this does happen, we'll have to work that out. And at this point, I just don't know for sure how that's going to affect the military.
The military is not like any other job that people hold. The military does, in a sense, kind of claim ownership, at least for your term of service, over a lot of aspects of your life, where you live, where you go, what you do, and how you serve. Why is it, from a military standpoint, in the interest of the military to be concerned about the sexual relationships, be they heterosexual or homosexual, within a group of soldiers?
The military is definitely what has been called a total institution. What that term refers to is an institution that dictates to its members everything about their lives, where they're going to live, the work they're going to do, even the clothes they're going to wear, and in fact can reach into what in other realms would be personal life, that is to say, the way in which we conduct ourselves in private. The Uniform Code of Military Justice actually criminalizes things that are not crimes outside of the military. For example, if you are consistently late for work at IBM, you may lose your job, but you're not going to go to the brig for it. In the military, if you're consistently late, you're considered to be unauthorized absence, and you can, in fact, suffer criminal penalties for that. So the point of that is that it is completely part of the military system that it dictates to us how we live our personal lives. Thus, a military officer, for example, can face court-martial should he or she commit adultery. That's not going to happen in the civilian world. It will happen within the military. Now, exactly how all of that's going to affect this issue of homosexuality versus heterosexuality is a very difficult issue, and I just don't know an answer to it yet. I think those will be coming, but it is so important within the military that we be able to rely on each other and trust each other, and that the lives, particularly for those who have security clearances, which many military people do, that there not be the possibility of them somehow being compromised in their professional life because of their personal life.
Dr. Dan Gard is professor of Old Testament and dean of military chaplaincy programs at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He also serves as a chaplain in the U.S. Naval Reserves. I trust you had a good Memorial Weekend.
It was very good. I was able to preach at my sister's home parish in Ohio, which is a vacant church right now, and it was wonderful. So I got to be a pastor this weekend in a parish. It was fantastic.
Thank you very much for being our guest.
Well, thank you.
When we come back from this break, we're going to spend some time going through the history, some of it little-known history, of Islam, and talk about Islam's intellectual suicide. We'll be talking with Robert Riley, Senior Fellow for the American Foreign Policy Council, author of the book, The Closing of the Muslim Mind, How Intellectual Suicide Created the Modern Islamist Crisis. Stay tuned.
Are you looking for a church where you can receive the gifts of God in the gospel and the sacraments and in the church's historic worship with lively music? Then come to Hope Lutheran Church in South St. Louis. We're located on the corner of Brannan and Neosho Streets at 5218 Neosho. You can also reach us on the World Wide Web at www.hopelutheranstl.org and give us a call at 314-352-0014. There is hope in St. Louis.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
Hi, this is Ville calling from Finland. I believe the day will come when you cannot enter the office as a pastor in the ELCA unless you subscribe to the ordination of gays and lesbians. And why do I believe that? Because Americans are sinners like we Finns are.
Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. IssuesETC.org.